I want to talk about our purpose and our destiny, our future, our calling, our plans of God. God has plans. God set some things up for your life, your future, and you may or may not get there. You may or may not walk in it. So you need to know how to detect the callings of God, how to walk in the callings of God, how to be faithful, how to be found faithful in the call of God. Because in the end, that's really all that matters. In the end, judgment day, you stand before Jesus, and what are you going to present? You don't get to present what you thought life was all about. You get to present based on His syllabus. He has a syllabus. He's going to say, okay, let's go to Roman numeral 1 in the syllabus. Let's see how we did there. A, B, C, Roman numeral 2. That's how we're going to present our case before the Lord. It'll be on His table. And so you and I need to make sure we're doing stuff spiritually. We need to get it right. So anyway, we're going to go to the Bible. Matter of fact, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, we'll start here. So as we talk, as we mention these words, destiny and purpose and stuff like that, predestined or will of God, you know, many people kind of immediately start thinking, oh yes. And they look up and they squint their eyes and they start thinking, yes, I've been wondering what my calling was. I feel called to something really wonderful and grand, and I'm sure it'll pay me lots of money. I'll be famous. I mean, you know, all the teenagers, you know, they want to be a YouTuber. They have the dreams and grandeur of being a YouTuber. A couple other generations are thinking, what is a YouTuber? Somebody who makes money off of doing clips on YouTube, usually silly, ridiculous stuff. It's got to be more than that. Your destiny, your purpose, the will of God, this holy thing inside you, has got to be bigger than just a vocation, bigger than how you're going to make money, bigger than, you know, the possibilities out there. You know, some people want to sail the seven seas. Other people just need a little peace in their home, you know. So we're going to talk about some of these things so that one of the big factors in your destiny is that your destiny is not something later. It's not something just put off for years from now. Your destiny actually includes your entire highway. It includes today, tomorrow, every step in between on the journey toward God. He's the ultimate destiny. Heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the ultimate destiny for your life. It's not, I'm going to create a company one day. It's not, I'm going to become famous one day. It's not anything other than the fact that if you're in Christ, your goal and destiny is Him. Amen. And that's why the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. So the end of the road is just Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So all of the stuff in you that hasn't come to pass yet, don't be frustrated about it. As long as you know you're on the path to Jesus, you'll be fine. The problem is people get their eyes off of Jesus being the goal and the ultimate, and they start thinking how great things they must accomplish. But I feel this thing in me that must be something other than where I'm at, because it doesn't feel right. No, now you've just deviated. You got your eyes off and onto self. One of the first things you're going to have to do for your destiny to come to pass is get your eyes off of I. Well, what am I called to? You just messed up. Well, I just feel, there you go again. Yeah, but what about me? There you go again. Look, you're going to have to get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first thing you and I have to do in fulfilling the plans and purposes and destiny of God is to fully consecrate to Him. So get I out of it and get Him in it. Then all of a sudden He fills the room. He fills your heart with Himself. And I tell you what, if you get lost in Him, you're not lost. People say, well, I just feel so lost. Because you're not lost in Christ. You're not lost in God. You're not lost in Him. And then they feel like their destiny's been hijacked. Like, oh man, you know, what's going on? You've missed the first step. First step, fully commit to God. Not half commitment, not, yeah, I know I need God in my life. No, He needs to be your life. I don't have enough artifacts up here and props, but you know, it's like people want to go through life, and so they got good education, yep, and I got good job, yep, and I got a good wife, husband, only one at a time. Children, I got a good car, got happiness, got my YouTube video channel. Oh, God, yep, got God. Got God, got my ticket to heaven. Go to church every once in a while. And then they go through life not realizing that He's more than just the back pocket safety ticket. You got to drop all this other stuff as being so vital and just pick up Him, and all of a sudden things start working out. So consecration is first for us. That means fully selling out to the Lord. If you want to succeed spiritually, if you want to be healthy, if you want to be a spiritual success, a Christian success, if you want church to mean something, oh, you're going to have to give up all of you. Amen. You give up all of you, you can have all of Him. If you give up half of you, you can have half of Him. Some people are satisfied with that. You won't be satisfied with that. Sitting on a barbed wire fence is not fun. Just being half in is not acceptable. Matthew 16. So this first step in fulfilling your destiny. First step is this. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. Stop there. If you're concerned about your life, you'll lose it. If you're concerned about protecting and guarding your life, He said you'll lose it. But if you'll go ahead and lose your life, you'll find it. Hallelujah. If you're concerned about protecting your pride, protecting your ego, protecting your reputation, protecting all the way your opinion, if protecting your opinion is more important, then you'll lose it. Give up all yourself and just find Him. This is in reference to Peter. Look at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. And then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. Peter rebuking Jesus. That ain't so far-fetched. You've rebuked Him before too. I know you. You've like, you know, Jesus, how come you let this happen? Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But He turned and said to Peter, get behind Me, Satan. Called him Satan. Called Peter Satan just because Peter didn't want him to die. Sounded like a noble thing. Get behind Me, Satan, for you're an offense to Me. You're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Be careful in evaluating life and where you're at. Not pull in some natural thing that overrides a spiritual thing. Now, you're not going to have to die on the cross for Jesus. At least not this week. You need to be prepared in case you had to die for Jesus, but you don't have to die for the sins of the world. But you do have to be careful not to let Satan alter the plan of God, shove you around in the will of God. get you off track based on some wrong piece of information or wrong evaluation about things. The devil sideswipes people and sidetracks their destiny many times by getting them thinking wrong. So we need to get some scriptural understanding of purpose, destiny, calling, vision. You need scriptural anchor. So that's what I want to try to do today, is scriptural anchor to understand some things from God's perspective, to see it properly rather than just, yep, that's right, I'm looking for my destiny. I'm and every high school student, I'm looking, you know, I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do in life. Hold on. Let's go to scripture and get anchored first to some real purpose. All that stuff's important. I mean, you making right decisions is important, but let's not do it without the perspective and the anchor from where God's looking. Lose your life first. Before you get life, lose your life. Matthew chapter 6. Turn back 10 chapters. Matthew 6. Now, let me say this. In our purpose and destiny and all this, there's several aspects of your life that require you to find yourself and find God's will. Okay, first would be your role in family. Your role in the family. Then there's your purpose and vocation, your work. There's a role that you have in the business world in some way. So those are two primary things. You have to have a vision and a purpose in your family. Every husband needs to understand his role as husband, his destiny as husband. He also has to understand his role as worker, as businessman, as whatever he does for 40, 50 hours a week. So there's different aspects of destiny and calling. Some people just focus on one. Usually it's the money one. Other people focus on family only. So you got to be careful. You got to know that there's different destiny here. Now, for an unsaved person, those are the only two. For the unsaved person, the only destiny and vision and vocation, or destiny and purpose, would be their work, their vocation, their livelihood, and their family. And then there might be some civic duty or some other, and of course a lot of people have part of their is hobby. Hobby is like real big in your purpose and destiny. But anyway, so an unsaved person only really has two. It's the work side and it's the family side. But for the Christian, we have three. And so as we talk about this, I want you to be aware, and you can apply it the way you feel in your heart. You can apply it to any of those three in any point, any scripture that we're reading. The third aspect of the Christian purpose has to be the body of Christ. You're called in the body of Christ, to the body of Christ. You were baptized into Christ. So the Christian has a church purpose as well. See, they're all enthused about that. Like, here he goes again, trying to make me come to church. I'm not trying to make you come to church. I'm trying to help you get a purpose. Amen. If you can just get your purpose set from the Lord, nobody has to ask you to come to church. It's kind of funny. You know, it's easy to tell people not to come to church. Okay, fine. You tell them to come to church, let me check my calendar about that. It's okay to smile. Or laugh at yourself, whatever. Matthew chapter 6. This is a scripture everybody pretty much knows, but let's apply it here. Jesus talking about not worrying about your money, not worrying about how you're going to make ends meet, not worrying about how you're going to feed your kids or put clothes on their back. verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. All the people without Jesus are seeking these things. Come on. Come on, if you have the Father in your life, don't be like the people without the Father. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, so seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Basically, all the necessities of life. Talking about physical, natural, basic things to help you live. But we could throw in a lot of stuff there. We could throw in your joy and happiness. We could throw in your calling and election and purpose and destiny. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God, you'll find the other. If you'll seek after God and His will and His divine purpose, you'll find all the things He's called you to do in the earth. And if you don't seek first the kingdom of God, if you're seeking second, seek second the kingdom of God after you've worked 40, 50 hours a week and taken the kids to all their games. No, the first priority in your heart and mind has to be, I'm seeking God's way. I'm seeking His word. I'm seeking His promises. I'm seeking His will. I'm seeking to obey. I'm seeking to learn. I'm seeking to love. I'm seeking to live by faith. I'm seeking to be a real Christian. I want to be a real disciple of Jesus. I got to understand His spirit, His power, His leading. I got to understand His word, His life, His love. That has to be first in your life. And not just learning it, but actually practicing it. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. And if you're not going to do that, then good luck finding your purpose. Now, we don't believe in luck, but if you're not going to seek God's will, you're going to need some. If you're going to do life without God's will, without God, without the kingdom, I can't make you any promises at all, no matter how edumacated you get. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. So as we do this, let's make sure that we don't get the cart before the horse, okay? It's not about what you do about your destiny or for your destiny. Doing is not the end of your destiny. Being has to come first. So we have to emphasize that sometimes to make sure that you're focused on the being aspect. I am a what? I am a child of God. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am seated. I mean, all the who you are in Him, not by yourself, but in Him, that has to come first. Then there's the aspect of you need to be a disciple, a disciplined one who follows Jesus Christ. So ask yourself the question, just right now, am I a disciple of Jesus? Do I care to be? Being a disciple would be first. John chapter 8. You can open your eyes now. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you're My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You've heard that before? Truth will make you free? Well, there's a prerequisite there. The truth will make you free, but you got to continue in the word. The truth making you free doesn't mean like some news fact came out and made people free. No, the truth is the truth of God's word will make you free. And people argue out there about the truth. I mean, even who was it? Pilate said, what is truth? Or one of the kings said, what is truth? Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if you abide in My word, then you're My disciples indeed. All right, so what we're talking about here is consecrating. Everybody say consecrate. Consecrate. That means commit. Commit. Everybody say commit. Commit. Fully committed to Christ. That's the only way to do this. A real disciple. How many of you want to be real disciples? Raise your hand. How many of you want to be fake disciples? Praise the Lord. I didn't see any hands. I don't have to lock the doors. Look at John chapter 15. If you're not fully committed, church life will be boring, unfulfilling, meaningless, and you won't experience the real supernatural touch of God's Holy Spirit. Oh, what a boring Christian life. What a boring Christian life. How many of you led boring Christian lives until you fully committed? You can all raise your hands. It's boring. Listen, All religious stuff, even in the name of God or the Bible, is boring if you have not fully committed to the Lord. All of the rituals that anybody would make anybody go through as part of a religion is boring. If you're not fully sold out to the Lord and then filled with the Spirit and then have some word and some truth in you, it's just boring. I mean, how many candles can you light? How much water can you throw everywhere? How much smoke can fly around the sanctuary? How many golden goblets can we... We don't get the cart before the horse. Okay, so John chapter 15 here. Jesus said this, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Again, here's this word stuff. That's one reason why we are hungry for God's word. We want to listen. That's why you're sitting there in church and you're thinking, please, preacher, preach long today. Preach long today. Preach long today. I'm going to have fun whether y'all have fun or not. I'm just going to have fun. You got to be hungry for God's word. Hungry for God's word. There's no better feeling than to be hungry for God's word. Where are we? John 15, verse 8. By this, by what? By you abiding in the word and then asking what you get and then it'll be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's interesting. Stay in his word. Get your prayer answered. That blesses God. God is glorified whenever you get your prayer answered. Don't make it so hard on yourself to get a prayer answered. He likes that. That's kind of how it's built. He said, your Father's glorified that you bear much fruit. All right. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. So first thing is to commit your life. Somebody asked me one time because, you know, I got back in the kingdom of God. Well, let me just give you a recap. Some of you don't know. I'll tell you the quickie. I was saved when I was 5 years old, believed in Jesus, had Jesus in my heart. Mom and Dad taught me just a few things, but very anchored things about my life and about what it means to be a Christian. I knew that's the only way. But I kind of tried to be a good Christian till I was about 15. Then when I was 15, I looked out the window of the world and thought, you know what? That looks interesting. I'm going for it. Now, I didn't have any anchor from church. I didn't have a lot of teaching. I didn't have a lot of that. And so you need that. If I'd have known a few more things, I might not have gone out there. But I did it. So 15, I said, you know, I'm going to go be an idiot. In my mind, I actually thought that. I thought, I'm tired of being a goody-goody. I'm going to go be stupid. In my mind, I knew that. That's how stupid sin is. Sin makes you do stupid things. You know they're stupid ahead of time. And so I did that, and I was a good idiot for a number of years, too many years, about 10 years. And then I realized how stupid I was being. So I was about 25. I realized how stupid I was being. 26, actually. 26, I was... How stupid this life, how dumb. I'm hanging around the dumbest people in the world. I mean, I actually noticed how stupid they were. What? Just because they're sinning, not because of their opinions and stuff, just because they're sinning, they just weren't right with God. Actually, one of my friends was a backslidden Christian like me. And I remember I did something one time. It wasn't terrible, but I did something. And he said, man, you shouldn't have done that. I thought, who is he more righteous than me? But it hit me. And within a couple years from that, I started realizing, you know, this is headed the wrong direction. I'm supposed to be getting closer to God when I get older. Really, you're never supposed to have to get close. You're supposed to be close all the way. But anyway, I said, that's it. I, I got to consider God. If I keep going this way, who knows how stupid I'll get? So I came back to the Lord in my mid-20s. Okay, so that was my journey. But when I came back to the Lord, I was in. I mean, I got all in. For three months, I decided if I was really going to do it. Am I really going to go all in? Am I really going to become a real Christian? Am I really going to do this? And so I counted the cost. And I decided after 3 months of learning, reading the Bible some, after 3 months, I decided I'm doing it. And for me, that meant all. I mean, I'm just kind of one of those guys. I just all in, basically. So I was all in for stupidity. And then I decided I'm going to be all in for holiness. And what that meant to me is that all my friends would have to know I'm a Christian. And that meant all my lifestyle would change. That meant I would probably be the brunt of all the jokes. That meant every stranger I met was going to have to know something about the Lord. I was going to have to tell them about Jesus, because that's what Christians do. That meant I'm always going to be a church person. I'm committing full on to the Lord. There's no holding back. All my habits can change. All my hobbies can change. Whatever the Lord needs to do with me, whatever the call might have to be, doesn't matter. I want to be a real Christian. I want to be a true Christian. I'm going to go all out for God. And sure enough, things changed immediately. As soon as I made the decision, things changed immediately. My whole life changed in 1 week. I stopped drinking, cussing, smoking. I stopped being stupid in 1 week. I didn't gradually stop being stupid. I stopped in 1 week. And then I got hungry for God. I started learning the Bible faster than you can imagine. Just everything I read just was written in my heart so easily, so clearly. And after about a year, 6 months or a year, people are like, man, what happened to you? How did you grow? I was hanging around Christians like, how did you learn all that so fast? How did you grow so fast? I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea. Now, years after, I realized one of the keys to growing in the Lord for me is that I fully committed. I was all in with God. That's called consecration. I fully consecrated to God. And if you'll do that, you'll grow. If you'll do that, all of a sudden, it won't take long. All of a sudden, things will work. You'll catch it. You'll understand. You'll experience God. Full consecration is number one if you're going to fulfill the destiny. And that was long before I knew I was supposed to be a pastor, preacher, a teacher of any sort. That was when I just knew I was supposed to be a Christian. First thing in your destiny is to consecrate your life. And if you start consecrating your life, I've heard this before, that people think, oh, if I do that, you know, God might call me into the mission field or something. If I do that, God might call me to be a pastor. And I don't want to be a pastor. And you need to understand that being sold out for God doesn't mean you're going to have to go into full-time ministry. Doesn't mean you're going to have to stand in a ministry office just because you sold out to God. No, that's not what that means. Walking with God means He can lead you in the path that He wants for you. Most people aren't called into full-time ministry. Matter of fact, you don't want to be in full-time ministry unless God makes you be in full-time ministry. How about just being so led by the Spirit? People feel like, you know, we love God, we love church, and so the things that get applauded in church is what I want to do so I can get some applause. You don't need any applause, okay? If you need some applause, here, I'll give it to you now. No, you don't need any applause. How about this? How about what heaven applauds? How about just making sure that heaven's real happy with you? How about just being so led by the Spirit in your life that the Lord Jesus applauds you? Now that's a goal. See, that's destiny. That today I fulfill my destiny by being led by the Spirit. Today I fulfill the ultimate destiny of God by pleasing the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. It's not ministry that gets applauded. It's God's will being followed that gets applauded. Now, ministry might get more likes on social media, But following God's will gets likes in heaven. We got to have right goals. To fulfill a right destiny, we got to have right goals. Ephesians chapter 3. Where did I say to go? You're more right than me. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Says, in Him, in Christ, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. See that word predestined? What does that mean? That means God foreknew, forecalled. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God pre-planned whether you would be the CEO of a company or an employee of the company. You find the grace of God for your life, you never know which one you'll be. But it was pre-planned, God's perfect call and will and grace for your life, He has a plan. Now, where do you fit in that? You fit by finding that. I was a businessman after college for 5 years. Loved it. Exciting job for me. Perfect fit for me. It was wonderful. Had a future. Had lots of income. Had it made. As long as I work hard, I'd have it made. I'd be a partner at the firm, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then all of a sudden, I gave my life to the Lord, and within a year and a half, I realized, uh-oh, this wasn't the plan. The plan was, I got to go teach the Bible. And so I got off of plan B, or plan Z, or my own plan, which God let me be in for a season, and I got onto God's plan. That's how it's supposed to happen for your life. If you walk with the Lord, you don't have to waste 5 years on plan B. But don't you think that was God's perfect will for your life? If you'd have seen my life, the answer you'd say no. If you'd have seen my heart, the answer would have been no. See, don't just assume that because you went through it, God wanted you to. He will help you navigate through your stupid seasons as best as He can, but it's not His perfect plan. It's not His perfect will is that you follow His Spirit from day one. His plan was for the children of Israel to follow that cloud by day and that fire by night all the way to the promised land, just go on in. But they doubted and wavered and got sinful and stupid and couldn't even wait for Moses to get off the mountain, had to build a calf, start worshiping other gods, having too much fun. And it deterred them for 40 years. Now, the nation finally got into the promised land, finally got into the will of God, finally got back to plan A, but it took them a long time. Happens the same with us. Your and my goal is to make sure, hey, from this day forward, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow what I know to be true in my heart. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what I got to do. And that's partly what we're doing here. We're trying to help make sure that we're all in that. No matter what your calling and vision and purpose and destiny might be, you need to be walking in it. And that can start today. As you drive out of the parking lot, you can be in your destiny. Now, in your destiny, there can be some goals, but that's, you don't wait for a goal to be realized before you say, aha, I'm in my destiny. It might take you a long time to be there. So you got to be happy today. You got to be content today. You have to be flourishing today, and that's, we'll get to that another day about it, but predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Now, skip down here to verse 17, which is a prayer. So Paul's now praying for this church at Ephesus. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And this is a prayer that we pray in our prayer meetings. This is a prayer you can pray by yourself. This is something you can pray individually for your family. You can pray it for another person. In our prayer meetings, we pray this for the church. It's a very spiritual prayer. How do we know? Because Paul, by the Spirit, prayed it and wrote it. So this is a very, very inspired prayer. It's got a lot of spiritual context in it that, you know, takes weeks to study and learn and all that. But notice some of the terminology. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. So you pray it for yourself. I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Like, wake up, Chas. Wake up. Open your eyes, Chas. I pray the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling. I pray that I would know the hope of your calling me, God. What's the hope? The hope is the destiny, the end. What has God called of me? Valid question. Pray that you see it. You know, technically, I could tell you many things about your calling and hope from the Bible. But you need to pray that God would reveal it to your heart. Because out of the heart is how you live. Out of the heart is what moves you. Out of the heart is what gets you out of bed. If you have a hard time getting out of bed, you don't have enough purpose in your heart. When I was not living a right life, man, please just don't mess with me. Let me stay in the bed as long as possible. After I got in the Lord, all of a sudden, man, I'm up. After I got in the Lord, I didn't have to hit the snooze 7 times. Sorry, I'm picking on people's sleep habits. So we need to know the hope of our calling. Okay, now look at verse chapter 4, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling or the divine calling with which you're called. So you're called with a divine calling. Everybody say divine calling. I'm called with a divine calling. With all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. Notice how your calling is supposed to be received. With lowliness. I've heard several Christians in my life, well, I'm called to do great things. They prophesied that I was going to do great things. It's like, yeah, why don't you pause the great things and just keep that to yourself. Really? You know, the angel appeared to Mary and told her she was going to do some great stuff, have the Messiah as a baby, and it says she pondered them in her heart. She didn't go blabbing to the whole city. To the contrary, you know, Joseph had a dream in the Old Testament. God showed him he was going to be, everybody's going to be bowing to him. He went and told everybody. And they threw him in the pit. You got to be careful about sharing what you have a glimpse of. Sometimes we catch a glimpse of the future and get lost because we can't assimilate that into our life today. No, just chill out. God will bring it to pass. He's just kind of helping you move forward. He's not trying to make you do something necessarily today about it. Today, you have to be in preparation. Today, you have to be faithful. Today, you have to be active now with what you can do. Not concerned about, you know, I've heard people that were prophesied that they were going to win millions to the Lord. I'm like, if you could just go win your first one, that'd be wonderful. If you can get up to one a week, now we're talking. I mean, that's 50 a year. What happens is when we think of calling and destiny in this, we're thinking trophy case. We're thinking, you know, Hollywood. We're thinking famous, you know, if I could just get my name in Wikipedia. Some of you are like, what is he talking about? I'm just trying to help bridge the gap to the world for you. Okay, so walk worthy of the calling. Walk worthy of the calling with which you're called. Walk worthy of the calling. Walk worthy of the calling. And say, so now I want you to open your heart up to all the things you're called to. Okay, not just some, what place of business or what job or what company do I start. The high calling of God, Watch this. Walk worthy of this divine calling with which you're called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So now he's talking about your spiritual call, your call to the body of Christ. You know, you're called to walk in love with one another. You're called to have a different attitude toward Christians. You're called to be a lover of people. You're called to act a certain way toward your enemies. You're called to love enemies and pray for those that hurt you and use you and be a different type of a person. You're called to that. As many great things as you might do and might get a hand clap here and there, really you're called to this spiritual life together, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Your high calling includes you endeavoring to keep unity here. I said your high calling includes keeping unity amongst Christians. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit here in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. All of a sudden now, he puts us all together. I need you to see this. All of a sudden, he puts all of us together with the same one calling, the same hope, one hope of your calling. And I think this is calling number one. Calling number one is as a Christian. Calling number one is as a child in the body of Christ. Calling number one. Calling number one is not even your family. Whoa, did y'all see that? That was a cucumber and a tomato flying through here. People stood up. Y'all are all sitting. People stood up. You talking about my family? One body, verse 4, one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's not a whole bunch of them. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Okay, it's all the same call. Each of us has different grace for it. We're going to talk about that not today. We're going to get into life graces, church graces, life callings, church callings. We're gonna try to cover all that. But notice, it's the same calling. You and I, as the body of Christ, every member, one of another, every person is part of one body. And that body is headed in the same direction. Like when I come to church, I like to bring my arms. Can you imagine, you know, I'm trying to go this way and my half of me, the body goes together. We're all together. Amen. So it's not about you finding some special thing and you finding some special thing to go do your thing and you finding your special thing to go do your thing and everybody wants their own thing. No, we're all the body of Christ together. So you have to be cognizant of where we're headed, what people are doing, what your best function is, what's real. You know, we don't want to have false assumptions, presumptions about what we can do. You know, some people want to be the finger. Some people want to be the mouth. Everybody wants to be the mouth. Some people want to be the ears. What? What did they say? I'm called to hear everything that goes on. Everybody does have a special grace, ability, supernatural gift. And we'll talk about some of that later. But it's all with the same purpose in mind. And that's why you never lose sight of it. I'm always amazed when people, they ignore the harm done to a local church body. How could you do that? It's this is what it's all about. I don't care how wrong things have happened to you or for you, but you cannot harm others. This is the whole idea, is that we're the body of Jesus. We care for each other. If the toes hurt, man, we're hurting. How could you just step on your, how could one foot step on the other foot and walk off? So you have to be very careful. You have to be highly committed to this high calling. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 14, Paul said this. He said, I press toward the goal or the mark for the prize of the high calling or upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm pressing toward the upward call or the high calling. I just want you to see that term because I like to use it. He's pressing toward the high calling of God. This doesn't mean he's pressing toward his personal call necessarily. He's pressing toward the general Christian call. Of course, he had another call, and you do too. But he's pressing toward the high calling of God. High calling of God doesn't mean you have to be an apostle or a minister. High calling of God is all things related to this Christian call. Hallelujah. Other scriptures say some things like this. Called with a holy calling. He called us with a holy calling before the world began. Hebrews 3:1 says, we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Then it says, we are called saints. Being a saint is a calling. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence. Notice these terms, give diligence. I mean, pay attention. Put some effort in. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It's going to take some work for you and I to do this. You understand that? It's like the story of a guy who's driving by this farm, and he could tell that it was a really exquisite looking farm. The outside fence was perfect. All the field looked very, very nice. And so he pulled in, and he's driving up the road to this farmhouse, and he sees that everything is landscaped. Everything is beautiful. The barn is painted. The house is nice. All the chicken coops are perfect. All the animals look very nice. All the crops are growing. Everything looks perfect. And it's just, he's blowing his mind. And so he drives by and he sees the farmer out in the field. He calls him over. He says, man, this is so wonderful. He said, God has really blessed you with this wonderful farm. And the farmer looked for a second and he said, I am very grateful and thankful that God has given us this farm. He said, but you should have seen it before I took over. Did I not give the punchline well enough? You got it? The calling of God is there, but it's going to take work. It's going to take you making some spiritual decisions, becoming diligent in your walk with God, obedient to His Word, learning how to have faith and not doubts. That's part of it. Learning how to not worry, that's a big part of it. Serving Him with all your heart, creating something, doing something on purpose, whether it's at the church, at home, at your job, being the best you can be, putting in the time. Lazy farmers have weeds and bad crops. Isn't that right? And not everybody has to have their own farm. You know, Americans are a little strange. We're very entrepreneurial here because we all have the same access to the same abilities, and not every single body. There's some exceptions who they already own thousands of acres of land, but you have the opportunity to go buy your own acre. So everybody here could be an entrepreneur, could be a businessman, because the law allows it and the system is set for it. But not everybody's called to be their own owner of an acre of land. Not everybody's called to own their own business. Not everybody's called to be a manager. Not everybody's called to be an entrepreneur. You understand that? Like if everybody had to have their own farm, who's going to help work the fields? So you do have to have some bosses, you have to have some owners, you have to have some employees, and you have to be okay with that, and you have to find what grace you really have. One of the tendencies in America is, oh, everybody's a leader and everybody's a manager and everybody can go, you know, rise to the top. Not everybody's called to rise to the top. You have to find your life grace, your ability, and stick with that. Otherwise, you'll be very frustrated and you won't do a great job. And if that was the case, then we would have only tiny, small farms. And the reason that doesn't work is because if a farmer is good, all of a sudden, with his 1 acre, he starts looking around all the undeveloped land. He's like, you know what? I ought to get some more land and have more crops to help more people and give more people jobs and just flourish. Because we're all built to grow. And so he gets some more property, but then he can't manage it all. Then he can't run it all. So then he has to hire people. Well, if they all just run off and do their own thing, there's not enough employees to run the big, excellent thing. So you do have to keep that in mind. And one thing that'll help you do is it'll take some pressure off of you. You don't have to go 20 years at a company thinking, I should have started my own business. Maybe. I mean, maybe God is trying to give you some grace for that, but maybe not. And that's why the whole thing is about you and I following the Holy Spirit. Staying free and fresh, following Him inside me so that I have peace today. So I'm not frantically searching for something new. Where's the greener grass? Where's the greener grass? I got to find the greener grass. It looks like it's over there because I know it ain't at this job. It's got to be at that job. Look, the greener grass is not some, you know, miracle. The greener grass is where it's got watered. So water your grass that you're standing on. People always looking for a new spouse. Boy, I see a great looking spouse over there. If you just water the one you have, you'd be fine. You're going to get over there and ruin somebody else what you're going to do. This is purpose, destiny, and future. It's lived now. It's not like, well, one day when I finally get a different job and a different house and a different city, I just got to leave this city. I got to leave this apartment complex. I got to leave. Everything's going to be good if I can just finally. Look, people that are believing God for a house, living in an apartment, your apartment better be exquisite. It ought to be, you ought to treat it well. You have to be faithful in the little if you're ever going to get the much. Well, one day when I get rich one day. Look, if you're going to be able to handle any wealth at all, prove it now. Well, as soon as I get some money, I'll start doing right by it. As soon as I get some money, I'll start saving. If you're not saving out of the little that you got, you're not going to be entrusted with more because you're not doing right. Well, I'll start investing one day it so scares me to invest anything anywhere. I'll invest one day if I get a lot of money. No, you'll never get a lot of money then because you're not being faithful with a little bit. Just be a tiny bit investor. Hey, kids, invest into your parents. Kid gets $10. Put $1 in savings. $1 to God. At least 10% to God. $1 in savings. And then how about investing in your parents? Give them $1. Say, do something good with this, Mom and Dad. Teach them how to invest. Teach them how to get money going right. Because if you're not faithful with the little, you don't get much. So this is part of fulfilling your destiny and your call. It has to be lived right now. You have to be doing the diligent things now. Well, one day if I ever got a big thing going, I'd really put in some time. That's the problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes your destiny is found within somebody else's destiny, and that's perfectly acceptable. You need to have your own destiny. You need to have your own vision for your own life in many ways, yes. But sometimes you have to also be part of somebody else's vision. Like the gospel is not my vision. You loving the gospel of Jesus Christ is not your vision, it's His vision. and we're just going to be found faithful. Same thing with other areas of life. You're going to have to also be faithful in another man's.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.